from Deuteronomy 5, verse 21. We finish this section called the Ten Commandments with these words. So whether you've heard them before or not, listen to them and listen in them for God's word this morning. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. The word of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we pray now that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts together would be pleasing, acceptable in your sight. We pray to you, our rock and redeemer, and we ask that we would, as we have sung, be people who are not rich in things but poor in soul. Gracious God, teach us to treasure most what matters most. It's in Christ's name that we ask. Amen. A couple weeks ago on the commandment, do not steal, I had the children's sermon, and there was a movie scene that was in my mind, and I couldn't remember where it came from, but I remembered later, it's from a movie called Guardians of the Galaxy. And the scene is at the end of the movie where this band of kind of misfit smugglers and thieves have saved the universe. And as a reward for saving the universe, they get told that their previous crimes are going to be pardoned, but they get warned that if they commit any future crimes, those crimes are going to be punished harshly. It's easy for me to say. Punished harshly. Well, then there's one of the characters named Rocky Raccoon, who is a master thief. He's also a raccoon. And he begins asking questions. He says, but what if I see something that I want, but it belongs to someone else? And the authority says, then you'll be arrested. And he said, no, you don't understand. I want it more than he does. He said, that's still illegal. And the raccoon says, that doesn't follow at all. I don't think you're listening. I want it more than he does. Are you paying attention? And then when the characters laugh, he says, I'm just trying to understand what he's telling me. This last commandment is about wanting stuff, particularly stuff that others have, but it's about more than that. And perhaps as the first Christmas decorations begin to hit stores, this is a good time to talk about coveting. Two interesting notes about the 10th commandment as we start thinking together. The first of which is that in the Catholic tradition, this is the 9th and the 10th commandment. They combine our commandment 1 and 2 into one commandment, and they separate, do not covet your wife, your neighbor's wife, and do not covet the rest of your neighbor's stuff into two separate commandments. However, the other interesting thing is that this is the only commandment with different versions in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. The other commandments read essentially word for word. This commandment is switched. In Exodus, do not covet your neighbor's house comes first. In Deuteronomy, wife is listed first. So Protestants have kept them together in one commandment, do not covet. And this seems, of all the commandments, like the tamest and the most mundane, but behind it are the deep realities of human greed, of materialism, of jealousy. The word covet in Hebrew means to desire, to want. It's related to the word lust. In Greek, it's an even better word. It's dzloeu, which means literally when the pot bubbles over. If you've ever made mac and cheese, you know that moment. It means to be jealous. It means eager to possess. It means to be moved by envy. It's that moment when temptation, boiling water, becomes action. It floods over the side. John Calvin said, when we get to this last commandment, we are all convicted. We are pierced to the heart with nowhere to hide. We must acknowledge that we have all been guilty. Luther said this commandment is not for sinners, but to remind those who consider themselves righteous of their sin. It is the last commandment, but the first in which the sin being named is internal. Specifically internal rather than external. Covet is the seed that lives inside of us, that grows into stealing and lying and adultery and murder. But coveting is an inward reality. It begins in the eyes and the heart and the mind, and it grows. Howard Hughes, one of the richest men of his generation, was once asked, what does it take for a man to be happy? His answer? Just a little more. Just a little more. Think about this. From the time you could walk, there have been people trying to sell you stuff. People who work in giant buildings, making tons of money, spend their whole day, spend weeks, months, years, careers, trying to figure out how to get us to buy things. Usually by convincing us that the thing we want is actually a thing we need. Teaching us to focus more on what we don't have than on what we do. And they are very good at it. They know how it happens. Maybe you've noticed that if you look at a product online, say you go to Amazon or some other commercial retailer online, whatever product you looked at begins to show up. It shows up in Facebook. It shows up when you check your email. It shows up on websites and search results. They know. They can just keep it in front of us. They don't have to do much else. We will do the rest. They just have to make us see it. Pretty soon, we believe them. And we have to have it. If I had that, if I had a chance to do that, if I had my neighbor's money, if I could take that much time off, if I could do what they do, if I could sing, if I could be good at sports, if I was taller, if, a thousand ifs, all convincing us that life would be better, that we would be better if we just had that thing, old thing, a new thing, a different thing, a thing someone else has. And really therein is the danger of coveting. The belief that our life would literally be better in someone else's shoes, or at least be better with their shoes, or their house, their marriage, or their office, or their family, or their job, or their income. But I'm not sure. In fact, I am sure, to be honest. As a pastor, I've counseled enough unhappy people. And I've struggled enough myself to know that it's not true. People think they'll be happier in a new house. They wouldn't be. At least not for long. People think they'll be happier with a new car or a new job or a new boat or a new whatever, but they won't. Not for long. Recently, in the largest study on happiness ever done, researchers discovered what the Bible already knows, that getting what you want provides a very temporary boost in happiness. And not very far down the road, you return to whatever is normal, whatever is baseline for you. In fact, the only thing in the study that showed a permanent increase in happiness was gratitude. And gratitude is impossible when you're focused on what you don't have. or what someone else does. To be jealous of the neighbor makes it impossible to celebrate with them, to be happy for them, to love them. Thereby, coveting destroys neighborly relationships. It also makes us dissatisfied with the blessings of our life because we become convinced they're not enough. That the next thing will be the thing that we need, the thing that changes things. We distract ourselves from the real issues in our life by pursuing more. We keep ourselves busy with the next thing, so we never have to deal with the real issue. And in the logic of coveting, more is always better. And so we pursue it. Until there comes that moment when we realize that all of the things we have us. That all the things we own us. Howard Wass and Willimon say, our problem is that we long for that which cannot fill us. So confused are we with our wants and our needs, we can hardly tell the difference. We are the children who take another child's toy only to become quickly tired of it and drop it, off in search of the next thing that interests me. And by the way, why in a room full of toys does one kid or one dog only want the toy that another child has? Because the fact that someone else has it reminds me that I don't. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's spouse or house or staff or job or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Some people think we covet what we see. But the truth is we covet what we think we see. We covet the result we think would come with getting the thing we think we want. The changes we think it would make. The things we imagine would be different. We put all of this on the thing we're looking at. The commandment instructs us. You shall not believe that your life would be better with his spouse or her stuff or their house or the thing in the catalog or the thing online. You are responsible for you. You have created the reality you live with. And only you can change it. You can't simply trade it for what's behind door number two. And it wouldn't matter if you could. You would just be unhappy with better stuff. William Penn said, the jealous are troublesome to others, but they are a torment to themselves. Instead of tormenting ourselves with thoughts of more and obsession over what we lack, this commandment points us to a better way. Contentment, gratitude, joy for others, restraint. And it is a warning for all of us that love stuff, that stuff doesn't love us back. The joy you feel when you take a wrapper off a shiny new thing is short-lived. And worse, the shiny thing might actually distract us from who God wants us to be. On the whole, Christians have mostly convinced ourselves that there's nothing really wrong with having stuff. But there is a danger in wanting more stuff. In lusting after stuff that isn't yours, with confusing wants and needs, with looking to possessions, especially the possessions of others, as if they would bring us happiness. Jesus said, what does it benefit a person to gain the whole world but lose their soul? What if the thing we really need is to learn to need less? be grateful and content and generous. Maybe the commandment warns us to be on guard against defending ourselves with externals, defining ourselves by what we possess. Maybe the commandment teaches us to be wary of keeping score by acquiring and keeping up, and to beware of looking at others and assuming you know the real story behind their possessions. Believing more is better and happy is more, which isn't true for long. As we finish the Ten Commandments, it's worth noting how many commandments hinge on this one. How often what we want leads to unfaithfulness. Idolatry, dishonesty, stealing, etc. So many of them begin with covet, with lust, with desire for more than we need. This is a moment of confession. And as we end the list with the commandment that we are probably most often guilty of breaking, we confess that these desires and delusions most often lead us from obedience. A wise poet once wrote, "Jealousy is more about self-love than love of stuff." Our obsession with stuff, especially the stuff of others, is really no more than an obsession with self, with what I want, with what I believe I need, with what I believe I deserve. All of those are a reflection of me. The obsession of stuff begins with the obsession of self. And self is where the commandments end. Because self is most often where unfaithfulness begins. Amen.